I had a friend who was a minister in the United States who had with him for a number of years a singer as his regular assistant and traveling companion. They separated in due course, and the minister decided that he would do some singing too. One of his friends, also a friend of mine, was with him in a series of meetings, and this evangelist would insist upon singing solos. So one day, after the other minister had taken as much of this as he could, he said to him, "Look here, Bill, I want to tell you something about your singing." And thinking that a compliment might be coming, he said, "All right, tell me." He said, "You know, the oftener I hear you sing, the better I like your preaching." I'm more than happy that in God's providence I can be with my dear brethren of the council and other speakers of the convention and to have this fellowship with you. What my heart in sheer love would like to say in extended remarks must be suppressed because of the limitations of time. Will you turn, please, to the prophecy of Ezekiel, the second chapter. We shall commence our reading with the first verse. Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. "And he said to me, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The people also are imprudent and stubborn. I send you to them. And you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that there has been a prophet among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit upon scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house." And so ends the reading of the lesson with this seventh verse. May God add his own blessing now to the reading of the scriptures and to us as we meditate upon them. Let me bring you back to the first verse for our text. Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak to thee. I want us to use these remaining moments of our opening hour thinking about the simple topic, begin where you are. Begin where you are. Where was Ezekiel? Not in Jerusalem. That would have been ideal. Not in the temple. The temple was gone. Not even in Judea. The people had been deported, as you remember, following the Chaldean invasion. And now they're exiles in a strange land. Ezekiel is one of the younger men in their midst. And somehow it has got to be known that this young man is marked. He's God's man. He is a prophet. Perhaps not more than 25 years of age. One day, some of the elders came to him. He and his wife, rather more fortunate than most of these captives, lived in more comfortable circumstances. And the elders sought him out. They wanted to know, has God any word for us? Has he any word for us about our beloved city, nearly 1,000 miles away? And there was, you remember, a gap of some 11 years between the Chaldean victory over Jerusalem and the deportation to Babylon and the actual destruction of the temple. What is the situation? And for the moment, Ezekiel had no word. It was in that particular set of circumstances that Ezekiel sought God's face. And God said to him, "Son of man, get up. I've got a job for you. I have a message for you to convey. I have a revelation for you to communicate to the people. Stand upon thy feet, and I will speak to thee." Now you and I have come from the far corners of the United Kingdom and far beyond. We have come to sit tonight in these two tents. We are not in a temple. We are not in a cathedral. We are not in a chapel. We are here amid these simple surroundings immediately, and these magnificent surroundings in the larger context of Keswick. And it's right here. And it's right now that God wants to begin with us. Begin where you are, as Ezekiel did. And what does that mean? Well, for one thing, I suggest that it means beginning with some basic recognitions. For example, recognize that wherever it is that God speaks to a man, there is sacred ground. Ezekiel was in exile. The circumstances were not favorable. It was a melancholy situation. It was a humiliating situation for him and for all of these other captives. And yet there, in that unfavorable setting, God had a word for his servant. You remember how it was with Moses. The third chapter of Exodus tells the story. Moses saw a bush, just a desert bush, blazing. And what really got his attention was not simply the fact or the phenomenon that it was blazing. It was the fact that when normally it should have died down into nothing but a bit of ash, it kept right on blazing. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not consumed." And God spoke to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, take off the shoes from thy feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy. Not a cathedral, not a temple, but a desert. And there God was speaking. And God has a way of so addressing you and so addressing me that he can turn an acacia bush into a cathedral and a tent into a temple. Yes, any place is sacred ground. Where God confronts us, and we are willing to be confronted. There's another recognition that I think is of value to us in a moment like this. We need to begin by recognizing that we must tackle ourselves. Now, when there's some responsibility to be carried, when there is some assignment to be made, when there is some problem to be solved, when there is some frustration to be overcome, the tendency with most of us is to pin the responsibility or the blame on somebody else. And that gets us nowhere. Begin with yourself. Begin not only where you are, but begin with what you are before the living God. One of the easiest things for any of us to do in convention circumstances such as those in which we shall find ourselves now for the coming week is to think that the sharp thrust of what God's word is saying to us is for somebody in London that we wish were here to hear this, or in Birmingham, or in Glasgow. I wish he were here tonight to hear this, we'll find ourselves safe. And the wish may not be wrong at all, but there is a danger in this that you and I shall miss the incisive, the penetrating point of what God the Lord is trying to say to you, what he's seeking to say to me, Son of Man. I begin with you. I want you to begin with yourself. There's a most unusual and I think suggestive thing that is told us in the following chapter, that before ever Ezekiel could respond to the request of these elders and give them some word from Jehovah, he was led to leave this place of relative comfort where he and his wife lived and go down by the river Kibar among the most wretched of the captives. And he tells us that for 7 days I sat where they sat. I sat where they sat. No word of prophecy now, no counseling, no message. Not until first of all there had been such an identification with them that something had happened to him. I sat where they sat. And if some of us, whether clergy or laity, are going away from Keswick a week from now to be of significant service to certain sectors of the community in which we live, it will be because physically, literally, or sympathetically, we have identified ourselves with others in a way that we have never known before. Something has got to happen to us before it will begin to happen to them. Begin where you are. There's that magnificent story that some of you know, I'm sure, of how Sir Wilfrid Grenfell ever became the missionary to the Labrador peoples that he did. When he first went over there, it was on a holiday. And he records the totally unexpected thing that happened to him. He got there and found these people wasting with disease, totally neglected by missions and by medicine. And he says, I attended 900 persons who never would have seen a doctor if I had not been there. And there on that frozen frontier of the Labrador, the man who had had no thought of becoming a missionary doctor had his meeting with God and the vocation to be a medical doctor to the Labrador peoples was laid upon him. Begin where you are, whatever that is. May I suggest a second thing now as we come swiftly to a close? Begin not only with some basic recognitions, but with some bold responses. Ezekiel did. Are you and I prepared to do so tonight and while this convention is going forward? Let me give you three. No time tonight to develop them, but I leave them with you. Ezekiel began to be a listener among the listless. There's every reason to believe that most of the refugees, the elders would be accepted, of course, but most of the refugees were so beaten, they were so whipped, they were so humiliated, and so bitter and resentful. They weren't really listening to God at all. And God said to Ezekiel, get on your feet, son of man, I will speak to you. Begin by being a listener among the listless. Not everybody that comes to Keswick. Not everybody who sits quietly, respectfully under this tent is really listening to God. Will you? Not only with the outer ear, but with the inner ear. Or again, not only respond by being a listener among the listless, but by being a speaker among the silent. God says to his servant, I will not only speak to you, but you will speak my word to them. Be a speaker among the silent. How well I remember a night, which now must be, 13, 14 years ago, when I'd spoken in a Scottish city. And the invitation had taken the form of a suggestion that if there were those who wanted to remain afterwards, they would go downstairs to the lower level of the church, and there we would have some counseling. And as it turned out, the Spirit of God so moved upon many hungry people that all of these little rooms down there were filled. And when finally they'd been emptied, the people had gone their way. One of the brethren came to me and said, there are two ladies who say they want a word with you. I shan't tell you the whole story, but they said, Mr. Reese, we are sisters. We are members of this church. We have regarded ourselves as Christians all the years, and we really love Christ. But tonight, we're humiliated at the thought that from one year's end to the other, nobody ever hears us say a word about Jesus Christ in our neighborhood or amongst our friends. Start being a speaker among the silent. Let the redeemed of the Lord, will you finish it for me? Have you been saying so? And if you haven't, will you start being a witness? Or thirdly, be a missioner among the motionless. Most interestingly, there is this repeated word here to Ezekiel, I send you. Verse 4, I send you. Verse 6, I send you. Start being a missioner among the motionless. How many people there are who have no sense of mission. Doesn't mean that you have to go to Africa or Asia or South America, but all of us are to participate in the mission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The frontiers are not always geographical. The frontier may be the frontier between your home and your office on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday. But are you a part of the mission? You're part of the mission. Bishop Leslie Newbegin, now of the Madras Diocese of the Church of South India, has an address on missions in which there's a wonderful little sentence, simple as can be, but so expressive. He says, no picture of the New Testament church is a right picture unless it's a motion picture. A great sentence. A friend of mine, who sometimes was pretty rough with people when he felt he was called for, preached a stirring sermon in a certain place and offended a lady who said to him after the meeting, I want you to know that I've been standing at my post in this church for 40 years. Well, he said, it's time you unhitched and got going. I send you. Start being a missioner among the motionless. Few there are in our churches today that really, to repeat the phrase of a moment ago, have a sense of mission. And then, of course, if you're going to begin where you are, you will not only begin with basic recognitions and bold responses, you must begin with bountiful resources. Here is the great word that is said, verse 12 of chapter 3, then the Spirit lifted me up. The Spirit lifted me up. And the revisers are to be thanked for capitalizing here. The Holy Spirit of God. These boundless resources. I read about an English schoolmaster who was said to have turned to his boys one day and said, young gentlemen, your brains are not to be cold storage plants. They are to be powerhouses. We've got a lot of people, even Orthodox people, who seem to feel that they themselves are sort of cold storage plants where all of the doctrines are nicely put away, preserved. They're in a deep freeze, alas. But they're well sorted out. And they can argue, they can refute and confute, but there's no fire of love and devotion and outgoing concern for people as people. Oh, how God wants to release within us the fullness of His Holy Spirit, which means Christ at the controls of your life. Begin where you are. Bold recognitions.
including the tackling of yourself. Bold responses, basic recognitions, bold responses, and the sense of bountiful, boundless,